Shalom, Chavarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your jubilant co-host, with our exciting teacher and ongoing student of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. So glad you decided to join us tonight. Let's ask the Almighty to bless tonight's study. And this study's goal is to help the body of Christ grow deeper in Him with a greater passion every day, especially because we here at Shofar Ministries really do believe we are in the final days before the calling up of His saints. Abba, we just thank You for another opportunity to minister to the body, Your body, of the church here on earth, over the airwaves and over the internet. It's a tremendous privilege, and we thank You. We bless You tonight for all the blessings that You've given us, and especially this one. Lord, you know that all the requests that we receive in the mail, and we've had a lot for salvation of loved ones before the rapture comes. And Lord, You know the ones who send in the salvation request to us last week, and You know who is listening right now. So we lift up the unsaved loved ones of everyone listening to this program, as well as the written requests. And we beseech You to pull them, sort of like taffy, till they desire to choose You as their Lord and Savior. Keep hounding them and do anything You must do to bring them to a saving grace. We thank You that You are so merciful, not wanting any to perish. And we just bless You and we thank You in advance for answered prayer. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And God bless you, John, and all the listeners tonight as we continue to discuss what I think is a heavy topic, Babylon, especially its spiritual side, often called Mystery Babylon in Revelation, we know. But last time we talked about its origin and began to see its progression. And we'll continue that tonight. And then eventually see its application to the end time church today.
Good. Mystery Babylon. It's a great subject. It's kind of heavy, though.
It is heavy.
I want to remind you the phone lines are open. And if you have a question concerning the last days or about the program tonight, Mystery Babylon, just give us a call. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
That's right. 888-677-WORD.
Word.
I say every week we ought to make a little jingle.
Oh, that's right.
888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD. How about that?
Well,
that was off the cuff. Anyway, we are a week into the new year. Let me ask the listeners, since we talked about this last week, how are your goals going so far? I mean, the one that you are going to learn more about Him? Were you able to tithe your time in His Word this week? That is a sure way to get closer, right?
Oh, yes.
And since Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, so says Revelation 19:10, the more we study, particularly the prophetic scriptures, because we're living in the last days, the more we are sure to know Him and have a deeper passion for Yeshua, your Savior.
And soon, if not already, you will be anxiously awaiting the sound of that trumpet.
As Hebrews 9:28 says, we should be, and, as we often say on this program, that there is a special crown of righteousness awaiting for those that are looking for Him.
That's right. You can find that in 2 Timothy 4:8 in your Bibles.
That's right.
Before we move on, I've got to ask you the question, any pertinent news for us tonight in the... Didn't I hear something about Syria's Assad giving an open speech last Sunday?
He did. I was amazed. It was really a bold thing for him to do. But he just has this new confidence since Russia has really snubbed the United States. You know, they won't even let us adopt their kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent 16 warships to Syria's border in the Mediterranean to deter us in the West from putting troops on its northern border with Turkey.
Hmm.
But it didn't deter us because we did do it.
Wow.
But Assad called on Syrian citizens to defend the country against a war fought by mostly foreigners
mm-hmm.
who want to take over Syria.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, it's not that really the citizens. I mean, yeah. It might have been in the beginning a few, but it's mostly foreigners and Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
I think he's right.
I think he is, too, there. Mm-hmm.
But here's what I got from his speech in a nutshell. He is telling his citizens to stand up to the terrorists and that if he goes, if Assad leaves, the terrorism will continue because that is how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's right.
Okay.
But he says, if you help me, I promise to get rid of all terrorists so you can live in peace. Well, that's amazing. But anyway, Russia, along with Iran, is providing Assad with a strong military shield, which is supplemented by Chinese diplomatic support.
Hmm.
So they're getting a foot in there as well. But Assad defended himself against pressing international demands to step down, and he vowed to live and die in Syria, made no mention of resigning or throwing in the towel.
Yeah, he's got a lot more chutzpah than was our guy in Libya, Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm.
And Assad has more backing than Gaddafi.
Exactly,
has
a lot more backing, actually.
So by his, it seems like, is he on our side with terrorism? It's kind of confusing. I mean, he wants
he's
to get rid
of... He's on his own side, pretty much.
His own
he doesn't
side?
Want anyone else coming in and taking over. Doesn't matter who it is.
So he still believes in the sovereignty of a country. He's not a world player, world government player, obviously.
Not at this point.
Not at this point. Okay. Wow, that's Syria.
So, but anyway, meanwhile, the United States did send troops, and they are in Turkey. And that was on Saturday. And mainly they say, well, we're just there to man the Patriot missile systems that NATO deployed to Syria.
That's the pretense, huh?
I don't know. And I suppose that's some of it.
Hmm.
But Turkey is facing also a very growing challenge from Syria and its allies. It requested the missiles to defend against possible Syrian missile attacks. So it's brewing.
Trouble is brewing. I just can't figure out who is on what side, and that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, the United States, of course, wants the Muslim Brotherhood in there, and I believe they want Syria out.
Yeah.
Now, why Assad out?
Yeah. And that's troubling to me because the Muslim Brotherhood obviously is wants Israel. Wiped out.
Well, of course they
do.
That's
their goal.
And if those of you that have listened to this program, I've given you the background of the Muslim Brotherhood and where they come from and what their, attributes are and their goals. And
what is our country even?
Not good.
Yeah, what is our country doing even negotiating or backing or helping the Muslim Brotherhood? What is our interest in that?
Well, it wasn't until Obama got in office.
Okay.
So enough said on that.
Enough said.
But over here, we just keep talking about how to fix the economy. Lower our debt, but making no progress.
Oh, well, we can raise taxes. That'll help.
Yeah. Sure, we did raise taxes on the rich, but at the same time, we gave the rich more tax breaks.
Oh, like the $400 million to Hollywood?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think of underprivileged poor people, I always think of Hollywood, don't you?
Of course.
Wow.
And then what about the, they sent $70 million to NASCAR for new tracking.
For new tracks?
Yeah, so again, we're still spending.
All right. This sounds like socialism to me.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But anyway, now Obama has nominated ex-Senator Hagel, who is very anti-Israel, as his new defense minister. So a lot of people are up in arms about that.
And I think we should just say that he's probably going to be a puppet.
Obama's puppet, absolutely.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah.
But here's something you probably weren't aware of. Remember when Israel finally had enough of the missiles from Gaza last November, and they began that aggressive counterattack on Hamas in last November last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think 10 would have been enough, but there were over 1,000.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Do you remember how pro-Israel supporters said to finish the job and not to quit? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Because we were one of them.
Yeah, we said that.
Yes. But they did quit.
Mm-hmm. Why?
That was my question.
I have no real.
Well, the reason
idea.
For that
is it. Would it be Obama?
I would say,
did he stop
unfortunately,
them from...
Israel does listen to Obama.
They do.
They just do.
They
I've
do.
Seen it
well,
time and time again.
Well, he's
and,
the president of the United States, and the United States is their biggest ally,
right? And they feel they think that we're their ally, I guess. But you see, at the same time that this fighting was going on in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the southern part of Israel's border, with Egypt, Al-Qaeda and Salafists were settling in there, and they actually drove out the Egyptians that were living up there in that northern part of Egypt.
Hmm.
And they started organizing to eventually attack Israel. I mean, that's what they want to do.
Wow. And you say the Salafists are the Bedouin.
They're Bedouin,
Bedouin
yes.
tribes. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
But basically, that didn't make Israel feel very happy.
No, we're very
it's
secure.
It's a dangerous situation mm-hmm. as well. So Barack Obama actually promised Netanyahu that if he would stop this and adhere to a ceasefire in Gaza, which they did.
Or stop the invasion that they were planning.
That's right.
In Gaza.
That Obama would immediately deploy U.S. troops for leading a comprehensive Egyptian campaign against those Al-Qaeda and Salafist extremists.
That were massing at the border
there. At the border. Now, this pledge was part of the ceasefire deal, which did end Israel's Gaza Strip operation. However, nothing so far has been done to stop Al-Qaeda or Salafists in that area. And, of course, when asked, apparently the answer is, well, there's weighty challenges confronting Egyptian President Morsi in the last couple of months.
So, okay, so we're dealing with this, our government's dealing with this like it dealt with the victims of Hurricane Sandy. It's
yeah.
like, we'll get back with you.
Yeah.
It sounds like. So.
But we still keep giving money to the terrorists and Muslim Brotherhood and everybody else.
Well, let's talk. Can we talk a little bit about Benghazi? Because that issue, they're trying to bury that, but it's really
well,
it's
yeah.
an ongoing thing here. That our embassy attacked, our ambassador murdered, and three, I think it was Navy SEALs, if not
mm-hmm.
staff.
Mm-hmm.
And well, we had a theory about that, that was probably a CIA operation gone astray.
Gone awry. Absolutely, I still believe that.
And?
But the main thing is Obama hasn't done any, taken any steps mm-hmm. against the Libya al-Sharia group, which apparently are the ones that assassinated our ambassador and three staffers in Benghazi. Also, a key person that was captured by Turkey, his name is Ali Harzai. Turkey sent him to Tunisia. I don't know why that ever happened. I remember when it did. I couldn't understand it. But Tunisia was supposed to really get hard on this guy and question him. But it ended up, they just let him go. Last week, they just let him go.
That's interesting.
So I highly doubt that Hillary will give coherent testimony due to her lapse of memory, probably from her concussion.
Yeah, that was a real concussion.
It was, but, you know, nothing is ever as it seems, or we are told.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to share this with people because every once in a while I read some other than United States papers.
What do you mean once in a while? You're all over the world with these newspapers.
But there are some European papers that have reported that Hillary did suffer a concussion, mm-hmm. but it was on a secret mission to Iran.
Hmm.
Apparently, the airplane had an accident on the runway. The report says it encountered extreme turbulence, causing it to sway off the runway, where its main landing gear collapsed, causing it to crash. And one of her protectors, who was also a Navy SEAL, Commander Job Price, was killed. Hillary was unconscious and bleeding, and was immediately flown with the medical team back to the United States.
Wow.
Where she did recover, as you know, she was mm-hmm. back to work on Monday. And that could have went either way, so she really had,
yes.
you know.
And her daughter really was upset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But by the way, here's the thing. The Iranian president, Ahmadinejad,
mm-hmm.
had just earlier landed at the same airport on an unscheduled visit.
Wow.
So they were supposed to have some kind of secret meeting. And, of course, that's why it's not reported here, because that's something that
yeah.
the president would not want anyone to know.
And this is from a European Union newspaper. And you can really check this out for yourself, listener. It's if you have access to the Internet, just go to eutimes.net. That's all one word, E-U-T-I-M-E-S, eutimes.net.
That's right. And then just search for her name.
Search for her name, and you will find that story there.
That's right. I want to add one more thing about Ahmadinejad. He's actually leaving in June. His time is up.
Yeah, he doesn't get along with the Ayatollah too well, I heard.
I mean, really bad.
I know.
I'm understanding.
Yeah, he was trying to make Aliyah to Israel, I heard. Last I heard, Israel wasn't going to take him, but I don't know.
Now, people are going to think you're serious.
I'm not serious at all.
Anyway, looks like something is brewing.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, it's probably trying to get Barack to make himself look good. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people might be saying that maybe they wanted Hillary dead so she couldn't testify about Benghazi. Now, who would be saying things like that?
Conspiracy theorists.
Yes. Well, I had a theory about that. I didn't think she was in a plane crash, but I actually thought somebody hit her in the head. So that she wouldn't be able to testify. But if she's, that plane was supposed to do more than crash and kill her.
Like I said, I have no idea. All I know is that nothing would surprise me these days.
Okay.
Nothing at all. Whatever.
Okay.
But anyway, she's still around and we'll see if she does testify. And I just have the feeling though that her memory is not going to be well.
I do too.
But. So, gun control continues to be argued. Well, last week, a bomb maker was caught just in the nick of time.
So, we're going to need bomb control.
Yes.
You're going to have to register your bombs.
Get rid of all the bombs.
Get rid of all your bombs.
Here's the deal. Evil will always find a way to play evil.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. It will.
Well, the way it's playing out is that we're going to probably have some strict gun control laws in this country, and it seems to be by accident, and it could be even, you know, God's maybe kind of little judgment here that we're not going to have guns.
I don't know.
That's the way it may turn out. But they keep saying that our president is last year was the top gun salesman.
Well, yeah.
Because people are so afraid that they're going to
have to. At least the gun sales are going up and they're making a lot of money now.
Yeah, that's helping the economy there.
There you go. But anyway, over the last few weeks, we have discussed some very accurate and amazing prophecies, haven't we, John?
Yes, we have.
From gifted saints, confirmed through the Word, because we always need to do that, and even science, showing us we are finally and really living in the very last days before the judgment of God finally begins on the gross evil of the world. Then, last week, we began looking at the origin of Babylonianism and how it made its way into the church, as shown through John's apocalyptic vision from Jesus and written in his book titled The Revelation.
The Revelation. And, of course, this is mystery Babylon and Revelation. Sheila, how would you define Babylonianism?
Well, my simple definition, well, first of all, it came from the area of Babylon or Babel, and it's still called Babylon today.
Oh.
And my thoughts are that the Antichrist will have a throne at some point in Babylon as well, probably the second half of the tribulation.
Okay.
Okay? Because I think everything has to go back to where it started.
You think?
Just like the millennial kingdom would be like the Garden of Eden.
Oh, okay. You know, so it kind of reverts to its natural state.
And Antichrist, who is going to be taken over totally by Satan, wants to give a tribute to where anti-God all began.
And it began in Babylon, didn't it?
It did. Because whatever name you want to call it, by the way, and a lot of different names, but anything that takes you away from worshiping only the true God of Jacob is Babylonianism, or paganism, or New Age, whatever you want to call it. There's only one true God, and he wants all the worship. God says no additions or compromising.
So really what you're saying is that the idea of that you can be a good Buddhist or Mormon or Jehovah's Witness and still get to heaven is really from the root of this Babylonianism of Babylon.
It is. It's compromising.
It's compromising.
There's another way.
There's another way. Very simply put, that's really what it is.
And last time we discussed Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, who said she had an immaculate conception of a son named Tammuz.
And this was back during the Tower of Babel?
That's right.
Okay.
This is way back. But it's interesting that even in Ezekiel 8, which was way further ahead then, there were women that were still weeping for the dead Tammuz. So you see how it stayed.
Oh, it never faded away, did it?
No, it kept being there, and God was livid over it, mm-hmm. as we see in Ezekiel, because in Ezekiel 9, God sent judgment. And to me, Ezekiel 8 and 9, chapters 8 and chapter 9 is something that needs to be read, because I think it's a mini type of the book of Revelation.
Ooh, that sounds like another program. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to even see, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like another program.
You're going to see that people are even sealed from the judgment. I mean, it's pretty good.
Hmm.
But back to what we want to talk about. Obviously, this mother-child Babylonian cult was a false fulfillment of what Satan heard in the Garden of Eden to Eve,
mm-hmm.
that God would send a Redeemer.
Yes, as a promise of a virgin birth, I think. You
can... Exactly, mm-hmm. and we know that in from Isaiah as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Semiramis was called the Queen of Heaven. And this title, Queen of Heaven, was later transferred to Mary, as the Catholics called her, and still do, I'm afraid. Now, we know that the Bride of Christ is going to be the Queen of Heaven, and Mary will be a part of that, for she needed a Savior as well,
mm-hmm.
and called her Son her Savior in Luke 1:47. And what does it say in John 14:6?
Well, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me.
That's right. Nobody
very clear.
Else.
That's very clear.
Not Mary. And unfortunately, they even call her co-redemptrix or mediatrix.
This is Roman Catholicism.
It is. And that's why this is such a heavy topic, because, as you know, I came out of that church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad that there's so many there that are remaining and don't know the truth.
Well, if this mother-child cult started in Babylon and continued into Ezekiel's time,
mm-hmm.
Which would be the time of the first temple, then why wouldn't it continue to now?
I mean, well, of course,
why would it ever,
from Babylon, and we know that was where Satan's throne was.
So it's a very persistent. It's a very persistent deception.
Yes,
and it's absolutely. With us today.
I think it's interesting, when I was reading in devotions the other day, I was reading in Luke, and in chapter 11:27, well, in fact, why don't you read that verse there,
okay.
27.
A certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. She was saying this to Jesus.
Yes, and well, how blessed his mother was to,
right.
to bear him,
to bear
you know.
Him. Yes.
But, you know, it's interesting because he replied,
yes.
what?
But he said, more than that.
More than that.
More than that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
That's right. So the word of God is what was more important than that.
Yes.
So for anyone to hold her up and say she's co-mediatrix is just not correct. In Jeremiah 7, 17 and 18, God says to Jeremiah, now listen to this carefully.
Let me read it. Do you not see that they do in the cities of Judah?
What they do.
What they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. Well, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger.
Yes, that makes God very angry, because he wants to be worshipped alone. But you know, John, I have to confess,
mm-hmm.
as a child, I did that. I remember when I was only 8 or 9 years old,
really?
And going to Catholic school, and they told me that, I think it was the Annunciation or something like that, and that all us girls were to make something to lay on the altar of Mary on her feast day.
Hmm.
And I can't even remember what it was that I made, but I know I was so excited about taking it and laying it at her feet. And so it's a very similar situation.
Very similar ceremony, it sounds like.
And I mean, I won't say how old I am. That was a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
but I think they might still do something like that today.
Very interesting. I can't ever say I've ever done anything like that. Maybe left cookies for Santa Claus.
Yes.
Baked cookies.
Well, that's also satanic, so there you go.
Okay.
But oh well.
Well, this is so heavy, I had to lighten it up a little
bit.
Oh,
I know, I understand.
Yeah, we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church here. It's a big organization.
I know.
It's huge.
But many varieties of this
mother-child
cult are found throughout the years in different places using different names, you know, Asheroth, and I didn't write those down, but there's quite a few, actually.
Yeah,
Osiris, there's a bunch of them.
It's the phony virgin birth story. Yes.
But it all stems from the threesome from Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Okay? And that's why originally Babylon was called the seat of Satan or Satan's throne.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see how it was referred to in the church at Pergamos.
Okay.
Now, the reason for that is, I explained last week that when the Persians conquered Babylon way back in 539 B.C., the Persians wanted only their own theology, Zoroastrianism, to be the nation's only religion.
Hmm.
So, paganism moved its headquarters up north to Turkey, to the area called Pergamum, which is the capital of Asia Minor, by the way, which in God's eyes was now then called Satan's throne, which is what he refers to and we're going to read this in the Church of Pergamum.
Pergamos. This is also...
But, you know, when you first read this, if you didn't know a little bit of history, you would know, well, why is he saying Satan's throne is in Pergamos?
Yes, when we know it's
from Babylon.
Babylon. Yeah.
Well, but now we know.
Now we know. And once again, listeners, we encourage you to just check out our radio teaching on the webpage, and especially the one dated the last week in July and the first 2 weeks in August of 2010. It's a three-parter. It's a detail on the seven churches. You'll learn a lot from this.
Yes.
I've listened to it more. I have actually gone back and listened to it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do myself because, you know.
Yeah.
But remember the seven churches now were literal churches at that time. Each one.
Can I just throw in something right there? I know you're...
Mm-hmm. You certainly can.
There's people that teach that that's all that Revelation was, these church letters to the churches were just only for that church at that time. And I think that's something that you'll learn when you study the churches.
It's very prophetic.
That it's prophetic and is obviously prophetic.
Very obviously prophetic.
But I'll let you... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it just bothers me that some people actually believe that.
Right.
And teach that.
And each church actually can have a personal application to an individual as well. And that's fine. That's what it was meant to be as well. But we, being that I study prophecy, I look mostly at the prophetic application in that when taken in order, each church in order that Jesus said, and John did write it, covers the church age from 33 A.D. till today.
Oh, right up to now.
And the very first church, of course, in 33 A.D., Jesus named Darling, which is the church at Ephesus.
Could that also
which
be
means
beloved?
Darling.
Does it mean darling?
Yeah.
Does it mean beloved or?
Beloved, darling. Yeah.
Same meaning?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Ephesus was the first church that started gung-ho and on fire and then slowed down and lost their first excitement. Now, that's definitely an easy church to take personally because I see that a lot.
Oh, really?
You know, someone gets saved, they get excited, gung-ho, they do really well, and then they sort of like, you know.
Yeah.
Now, there
cool
is
off.
A balance, you know.
Yes.
You don't want to stay too excited and turn people off as well. I mean, you have to have that balance, but you don't want to stop reading his word, and I think that's what happens.
I think so,
that's
too.
That's sad.
Or there's no reading of the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we go on. Then around 100 A.D., the next church was terribly persecuted. There's actually at least 5 million martyrs. You can read about a lot of that in Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad reading. Not really, because they all go to heaven, so I guess that's a good thing, huh?
And I read that, too, and I can't remember any of them that were in pain, actually, when they were.
Well, we weren't there for all 5 million of them.
Well,
but
we weren't. But,
I know that there are stories that they really didn't have pain. In fact, there was a story of a man that told a friend before he was burned at the stake that if he's in pain, he'll raise his arm, you know, or he wouldn't. I don't know if it was wood rays
or signal. Some signal.
Mm-hmm. But it ended up that the signal was that he was not in pain. So I thought that was pretty nice.
Yeah, I think God can deliver us from anything, even when we're it doesn't look like we're being delivered. We're probably being delivered as well.
So. Yeah.
Smyrna, that's an interesting
word. But that
word.
Was the name that God gave to this persecuted church.
Smyrna.
For the obvious reason that its name means
myrrh.
Myrrh, mm-hmm. Right. Which was an embalming spice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this church, actually Jesus had no criticism here. And he criticizes all the churches except Smyrna and one other.
I know what's other.
I know.
Well, I won't go there.
Well, the Church of Philadelphia, the bride, of course.
Right.
But anyway, he had no criticism for the church at Smyrna. They were ready to die, and they did for their faith. However then, about 312, we had another change.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the church at Pergamos. This is number 3 church. And this came to being, and like I said, around 312. And the name of Pergamos means...
mixed marriage?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that means they brought in false religions and mixed it in with the church.
And what false religion did they bring in?
Paganism. Yes.
Okay.
And that began the Dark Ages. Again, Pergamum was the capital of Asia Minor. And we are going to read that in a minute here, but let me just explain that paganism was welcomed when the church married the world.
Hmm.
Dictated by Emperor Constantine, due to a vision of a cross, decided to make Christianity the whole empire's official religion. So the church went from persecution to those who were not Christians. They were being persecuted, like the Jews, because most of them would not convert. Some did. And to entice the pagans to convert, he agreed to compromise with them, allowing their deities and holidays, but he Christianized them, you know, like made the deities saints and things like that.
Yeah.
While removing the Jewishness of Christianity, our Jewish roots.
Yeah.
Apparently, they made December 25th the birth of Jesus to coincide during the week of the winter solstice, as well as it was the birth date of Mithra, who was a pagan god worshipped in the religion of Mithraism. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't, and I'm not so sure I want to.
No.
But that December 25th is the birth date of our Lord and Savior. It seems to fall right around Hanukkah time. Hanukkah is always on the 25th of
Kislev.
Of Kislev, right? So
yeah.
It sounds like they're definitely trying to replace.
They are. They're
trying to replace.
Yeah, that was the whole idea, to make everybody happy. And, you know, we're seeing that again today.
Sounds like today.
Everything's going back, and we're seeing this one where religion compromising and accepting all.
Because we want everybody to be happy. And we,
right.
We don't want anybody to be hurt their feelings or anything.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, and because of that, we're not giving them the truth. And so to me, that's not love.
No, that is not. Mm-hmm. That is not love. We had that discussion at our meeting last Friday that Leviticus 19:18 says that if you love your neighbor, you'll rebuke him.
That's right.
So that means you're going to have to be honest with your neighbor at some point. We're to love him, and we're supposed to say in love.
It's showing that you care enough to not want them to go to hell.
Yeah, but you would risk, you know, okay, well, you may not like me, and I want to say this to you because I love you, and mm-hmm. I don't want you to. You're going the wrong way, if we were saying that
right.
to someone.
Well, and then you have to give evidence. You mm-hmm. have to give evidence of what you believe, and there's plenty of it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, anyway, Passover became Easter. They changed Teshuvah in the fall to Lent in the spring. They added rules. They changed Semiramis's name to Mary and worshipped her as the Queen of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see that really heavy in the next church. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans continually gets stronger. And then, again, we'll see that flourish in the next church.
And we'll actually learn what it actually is.
That's right. And in fact, I think it was the church at Ephesus where he gave them a commendation because they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And Nico just means rule over the laity, rule over the people.
Yes.
And that's what was starting to penetrate in. Well, I'm a bishop, or I'm this, so I'm better than you are, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the next church, we'll see that really flourish.
Mm.
So, and it stems from pride. So it had the first temple of an imperial cult built there, and had emperor worship as well. And they worshiped Domitian, which is the guy that followed Titus, who destroyed the temple in 70 AD.
Mm-hmm.
And then Domitian destroyed many synagogues, if not all, and burnt as many Jewish writings as he could
get
find.
His hands on. That's terrible. And this all happened at Pergamus? Is this the church?
Yes.
Okay, this is the seat of Satan.
Yes,
well, it certainly sounds like they did get the throne up there, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it really
and
does
again,
sound like
for
that.
Someone that might just be turning in, the reason Pergamus was called the throne of Satan is because Babylon's paganism was moved to Pergamum when the Persians took over. They didn't want it there anymore.
Yeah, so they weren't worshiping Satan. This was actually just
they know of, but, you know, you're either worshiping God or you're worshiping the other. It's just that they don't recognize that they are.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's the Satan's real job, it looks like, is to imitate and try to duplicate the...
He wants to be God.
He wants to be God, and he does it with this mystery Babylon, this mother-child cult.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's making headway in the Church of Pergamus.
That's right. And I want to read that right now, actually, from the scriptures about this church, because it really is the foundation for the next church of Thyatira. And remember, this is the whole idea of this program, is to show you how this has permeated the church and where it started, its origin, and where it's going.
And like you said, then these churches persist even to today. And this
Absolutely.
Mystery of Babylon has never stopped.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, to the angel of the Church of Pergamus, write, "These things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword." What's interesting that each church, each of the seven churches, has a different opening of description of Jesus Christ, which are all found in the first chapter of Jesus appearing to John.
Oh, interesting.
Just so you know.
Oh.
So each title, he picks a different one for the church.
Oh.
Okay, so this is fitting because the sharp two-edged sword, which is, you know, in Hebrews talks about it, pierces and divides truth from error.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says, "I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And hold fast to my name and do not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas..." Now, Antipas actually was a bishop in around 83 A.D. under Domitian. He was burned alive in a bull-shaped altar to Caesar. And while he was being burned, he was crying out thanks to God for allowing him to suffer for his love.
Wow.
Now, that's amazing.
But that's God.
That's amazing.
That's the power of our Lord.
So he's telling them in Pergamus, he says, "Hold fast to my name. Don't blow it."
Yeah.
And "do not deny my faith, even as in the days which Antipas, who was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwelt." So he said that again.
Mm-hmm.
But he does say this. He says, "I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel and to eat things sacrificed to idols." So see, they're compromising with this idol sacrificing.
Mm-hmm.
"And to commit sexual immorality." And you can read about this.
Chapter 22. Yeah.
"Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans." So there's that name again.
Yep.
It's starting to flourish here in the Church of Pergamus.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "And I hate it."
He hates it.
Yes.
Mm.
"Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Now, when is that going to happen? Do you remember, John?
Well, I don't.
Revelation 19, it talks about him coming
back
with the sword of his mouth.
Sword of his mouth, of course.
That's right. "So, to the church of Ephesus, he commended them for their rejection of the deeds of Nicolaitans. And now he says, he says there are some that hold to the doctrine, and he hates that."
Okay. So it's gone from the first church now to the third.
That's correct.
Yeah. that we're keeping track.
And then closing in this chapter, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And that word hear is the Greek word akouo, number 191 in your Strong's, and it means to understand. So it's not just he who has an ear, let him hear, but he who has an ear, let him understand what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Now, you can only get that in heaven right now. And I will give him a white stone, which is always the stone of acquittal. A black stone would mean the opposite.
Oh, and this is some court I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, in old times.
Old times, okay.
And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it.
Wow. Sheila, I really don't want to go down a rabbit trail or something.
Sure you do.
But I know some people are listening and thinking, okay, just what exactly does it mean to overcome? Because he says to him who overcomes. Does it mean without any, you can't have any faults to get, or you're not getting victory over all the areas in your life? Is that what it means? And I know you get asked that question, and some even think they won't go on the rapture because they're having some failures in their walk with the Lord. What do you say about that?
Yes, I do get that a lot. So it's an easy answer because it's right in Scripture, and it's in 1 John 5, 4, and 5. And I think I have it open over there, John, if you want to read it.
I'll turn to it right now. Okay. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's pretty plain.
That is. And if you don't know that, if you don't know your whole word, you're going to think you have to work at it. And it's belief.
It is. It's actually
true
faith.
True belief and passion.
True belief that Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right.
And that's the overcoming part.
That's it. That's overcoming the world. See, because the world doesn't believe that.
Oh, that's good. That means I'm overcoming right now.
That's right. We are overcomers.
On my worst day, I'm an overcomer.
That's right. Okay, now you should understand the foundation that we've just given you is the foundation of the next church. And that's named Thyatira, whose name gives it away. Do you know what it means, John?
I remember it means continuous or continual sacrifice.
That's correct. Thyatira means continual sacrifice.
In other words, Jesus' sacrifice
was not enough.
Was not enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that here, and then next week we're going to get into it more deeper. But we still have a few minutes, so let's get into it a little bit, okay?
Oh, yeah. We got some time.
Okay. Now, remember, first of all, the first three churches, prophetically, are past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's always a little bit of some of it somewhere, okay? But as a whole, they're done existing. For instance, Smyrna. There's not worldwide persecution on Christians. There's some areas, yes, but it's not worldwide.
Okay.
So basically, that's past tense. Ephesus is past tense because that was the first church. Okay?
Okay.
And then Pergamos is actually past tense. It only served as the foundation to the next church, Thyatira.
I see.
So the first three churches are gone.
Okay.
Okay? Now, the first three churches also were not actually given the blessed hope of Jesus' return in the rapture. They were not.
Oh, because I was going to ask you how you seem so sure that these churches are gone, but there is a reason you think that is because they weren't given the blessed assurance.
Right.
In each of the
right.
letters.
You don't see those three churches today. You see the last four,
okay,
but not the first three. And that's why they weren't given the blessed hope of Jesus' return.
Oh,
okay?
Okay.
But the next church, Thyatira, we will see for the first time the tribulation is warned of.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember, Smyrna was encouraged to see it through to death and never said they'd be delivered from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the last four churches, although added one at a time through the years, are all still here till the end. And we're going to cover that, not so much in detail as Pergamos and Thyatira, but we certainly will finish and give a quick summary of the last
okay.
ones as well. But one of the four churches are going to be removed. And, of course, that's the Church of Philadelphia,
right.
which is the born-again church.
Right.
Okay. And it's nothing bad said about it either.
Oh, okay. It has that in common with Smyrna. Okay.
Right. Then all the rest, after we're gone, the Church of Philadelphia, all the rest are going to combine with the Laodicean or the One World Religion or Mystery Babylon, represented by the woman on the beast in Revelation.
So this is where this Mystery Babylon ultimately takes us. We found out where it started.
Started in Pergamos. Takes us into Thyatira, mm-hmm. and then continues on all the way to Revelation.
So it actually started in Babylon, which is in Genesis. So it started mm-hmm. back there, and here it still is in existence in Revelation.
Well, and that's what I was trying to accomplish by giving a easy synopsis mm-hmm. of how it started, how it crept into the church, and where it is today, and where it will be in the book of Revelation.
And I do remember you said it was the main sin was pride.
Yes.
The pride of people, I'm a bishop.
Wanting to be better than others.
Yeah, I'm better than you. I'm actually, God talks to me more than he talks to you or something. Mm-hmm. Pride.
And the father of pride, of course, was Lucifer.
Of course.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
But for the first time, again, in the next letter to Thyatira, terrible judgments are pronounced. And the Lord assumes now his supreme title, Son of God.
Hmm.
So to the first three now, he revealed himself in attributes that would stimulate faith and call for dependent trust. But now, in the Church of Thyatira, we're going to see judgment with flaming eyes. So it should get your attention right off, because bronze and fire always means judgment.
Yes, that's a picture. That's always the picture.
We only have a few minutes, but I want to give just a little bit of background. I know we won't be able to read the Church of Thyatira tonight. We will do that next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to encourage those that are listening to this program to either listen to the last couple programs or go back and listen to all seven churches mm-hmm. in July and August of
2010. Mm-hmm.
But
that's on the website, shofarministries.net.
Yes. Thank you. Anyway, now we're up to about 606 A.D., and that's when we have the Church of Thyatira, when the Mass was instituted. Again, that's called continual sacrifice, and every time they do the Mass, they're continuing to sacrifice Jesus again. That's why they never take him off the cross. Stays up there.
Ah.
And it represents the denial of the completed work of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Still here today, they exalt Mary and call her the Queen of Heaven. And they've declared her the Mother of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Jesus, the Mother of God.
Wow.
They've taken it to extremes, and they've even made her divine. Declaring her born and living without sin.
Wow.
It's the Immaculate Conception, and at the Vatican Council in 1870, they declared that she remained a virgin forever. It's just not true.
Yeah, this is true. And we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church. And
we are.
And you're from the Roman Catholic Church. And
I
think God took you out of that.
He did. And the thing about it is, I recognize the fact that it was time to leave. And there's a scripture that he says, get out of her before you take on her sin.
Yeah, don't partake of her sins. Come out of her.
Yes.
He's talking to a bride there, I think. Yeah.
And that's what I want to say. If you're listening to this program tonight and you are still in the Catholic Church but claim to be a born-again Christian, read your Bible and want to grow, then you must leave.
Mm-hmm.
You must leave, get in a good Bible-teaching church, and continue your walk with the Lord.
Yes. I think that's good advice, because some people have said you should stay and try to change it. Well,
I tried. It does not work.
It does not work. You're going up against, you're really fighting
City Hall
there.
If anything, they think that, you know, they badmouth you after that, and it's just not a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
You need to go on and move on.
Well, this
and
is
pray
certainly,
for the other.
Eye-opening. Eye-opening. Well,
but we're going to continue this talk next week.
And we didn't even have a song tonight.
I know, because I just wanted to keep going. We have a lot to talk about in the next week or two, so.
Oh, well, okay.
Boy, it sure went fast, though, didn't it?
It did go fast. And, listener, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life and perhaps just have a knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction, it's easy to just go to him in prayer. You can get on your knees, and I actually recommend that, and repent of sins that are lingering in your life, no matter what they are. You know what they are. They're weighing you down. They're keeping you back. Maybe they're silencing you from telling other people about the Lord. And then just commit your life or recommit your life, whatever it is, to Yeshua. He's our Savior. His name means salvation. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. And remember, God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't send anyone to hell at all. That's something that we decide. You decide yourself where your soul goes. And your soul never dies.
It doesn't.
No, it goes on eternally, and it has to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there's only two places. It's with God or with Satan. You decide, and he lets
you
decide.
It's your decision.
Yes, that's right. We're not robots.
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make more disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep, for he is the Great Shepherd.
He sure is. And we're going to do the Aaronic blessing tonight before we leave you. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai ponav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai ponav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
when we wrap up Mystery Babylon, hopefully, but maybe not. So, till then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's Psalm 122, verse 6.
See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.